Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, October 21st, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And I want to thank you for joining us, as you so graciously do every Thursday. And we love to hear from you, so please do give us a call to listen in live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those 10 digits, again, are 347-857-2710. And you can also email me at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. Well, we are in for a very special treat with a very talented woman. I am told that my guest today, in addition to being born with cross-country skis on her feet, that this Norwegian jazz diva came out singing. And as you can tell by Full Moon Rising, she is quite a talent. And we are very fortunate that Caroline is on tour in Little Rock, so she's taken a few minutes out of her touring schedule to be with us today. So we're just so happy to have this multi-talent, a performer, composer, and an author working on the book to her new musical called Come Hell or High Waters. Please, please give a warm welcome to Caroline Waters. Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
I know, that was quite a mouthful. I mean, I don't know how you do it. And this is the beautiful thing about technology. You're in Little Rock, I'm in Los Angeles, and voila, we have How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes, and people get to listen to your beautiful song, Full Moon Rising. And what inspired you to write that song?
I actually wrote that song many years ago. I had a really bad car accident when I was 18. And I hit my head, and I had temporarily brain damage, and I lost my memory, my identity. I had amnesia for 4 years. And in that time, I had trouble speaking, and I had trouble doing pretty much anything, except I could sing. I could sing, and I could remember lyrics, and I could write. So I wrote that song at that time. It's about, you know, and the reason I chose to record it now and release it, I released it this year, and I'm touring with it right now. The album is called Exposed, and it's songs that have helped strengthen and inspire me through kind of rough times in my life, and so that's a very special song.
Wow, that's quite an experience. Four years of amnesia in other areas of your life other than performance. And you started performing at a very early age. As I said, you came out singing, but you performed with your father.
Yeah, I started at, I started singing at two, but I was in my first movie. It was a musical movie. It was a Christmas movie. I was in at age three. And that became my claim to fame because it was shown every Christmas in Norway, every Christmas Eve for two decades. And then I was in a bunch of musicals, like a little Shirley Temple of Norway.
Are you the Shirley Temple of Norway?
Well, sort of, you know.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
With or just red hair instead of brown curly locks.
Exactly.
Well,
I was probably a little more. I was probably a little more tomboyish than Shirley Temple. She was more cutesy, right, girly girl, and I was more like a tomboy.
And you haven't stopped performing since.
No. It was so funny. I mean, I was going to be a doctor. That was my whole agenda before my accident. And after the accident, I really didn't have any other choice but to be an artist. And not just because of the accident, because I've healed, you know, my brain is actually working again. But just because it music is so important to me, and it's so healing.
That's right. Music does heal the soul, and you know, you often listen to music if you're in a particular kind of mood to maintain that mood, or if you're in a melancholy mood and you want to lift your spirits, you play a song that lifts your spirits, and it's a domino effect. You're not only affected by it, but those that come in contact with you are also affected by it. It's quite an amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Do you have any regrets about not pursuing the medical career?
No. I'm actually, you know, I am sort of a natural healer. I think partly because of my own journey, but I've also been always very sensitive since I was a little girl and had kind of warm hands, and so I have pursued the healing arts as well, alongside with the music, and so I do craniosacral therapy and just intuitive healing work, which works really well for me because it gets me out of my kind of artist self and into a place where I can facilitate space for others in another way, you know, that has more to do with the channeling of energy purely for being attentive to the other person or other people rather than just being a performer and channeling energy. It's both healing, I think, but to me it's a nice balance to do both.
It sounds good. Is this some type of therapy that you experienced to help heal yourself with the amnesia?
Yeah. I've had some amazing, just my whole journey has been miraculous in my mind. And so I believe that we can, I mean, I was supposed to be dead, you know, and I was not supposed to be able to kind of walk again or, I mean, there were so many things that the doctors told me I probably wouldn't be able to do, and I'm doing everything. I got all the way kind of back up to speed, and I'm dancing and singing and running and jumping and you know, doing it all.
That's beautiful, and I know you have a camp, Vocal Freedom Camp, that's designed to free the voice and heal people from post-traumatic stress. So that's tell us about that.
Well, that's really, I mean, I had post-traumatic stress for many years, and sometimes I still do. I mean, I can still get triggered. But I'm pretty much, you know, back to
normal.
Pretty well. So back to normal. And music and expression and allowing myself to feel my feelings whenever they come up through art and through music has been the biggest healing factor for me. And I love teaching. And I love just facilitating spaces for people to express and heal, you know, and it could be kind of because I've seen what it can do, you know, I've seen what it's done for me, and I know what is possible, and I think because of that, I can hold that space in a powerful way, and because I'm an entertainer too, you know, it's it can be entertaining, you know, for people as well, and when you're entertained and having fun, I think you also can heal even faster. You know?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people have difficulty at times expressing their voice. And
yeah.
in any capacity, whether you're a young adult expressing your voice to your parents or expressing your voice to your partner or whatever that means for you. So in your case, it's through your music that you're able to tell your story and express your voice, and it's great that there is a place for other people to go to express their voice. What kinds of, as an example, what kinds of programs do you offer at the camp? What do some of the people do?
Well, usually, I do everything from one-on-one to week-long seminars to weekend seminars to it's all kinds of, it's whatever people want. I have groups and companies and different groups of people calling me and hiring me to do this. And sometimes I will produce events myself, which usually is the week-long ones, you know, where they sign up for a week where you do 2 hours a day. That's usually in L.A. or Oslo. But, I go wherever I am hired.
You hire. So you don't offer the camps, let's say, around the country. You don't go and offer the vocal freedom camps around the United States.
Well, I offer them to, but I would have to be, somebody would have to hire me to do that.
I see.
Yes, I offer them, and then I go wherever they're paying me to go. But so far, I've been arranging them myself, producing them myself in L.A. and Oslo so far. But I think I would like to take it on the road. I would like to take Vocal Freedom on the road with, in conjunction with my next tour, because I think it would be a good combination.
Sounds like a great name for your backup people, the Vocal Freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and Caroline Waters and Vocal Freedom.
Yeah. You know, I grew up, you know, part of the Vocal Freedom thing is that I grew up in a family that was very publicly visible. We were a famous entertainment family back in Norway. And so I always had to watch what I was saying in public. That was very, you know, strictly kind of monitored and censored in my family. And so for me, it has been important to allow myself the freedom to not be so strict in the censoring department, and also allowing space for other people to just have it, get it out, you know, whatever it is, you know, not be so afraid to of what other people might think. Because we all have the same stuff, you know.
We do. We always are so worried about what people will think if we say something or do something, but we can't control what people will say and think. They'll do it anyway. So you might as well take a little dip in the water and feel what it's like to have a little fun and express yourself. You sing with such passion, and it's so beautiful. You have so many different styles of singing. How did you have a mentor? Where did you learn to hone your gift?
Well, I performed, you know, for 20 years, or no, not 20, well, 14 years before I actually had a teacher. But my first teacher was Anne Brown. She was the first Bess in Porgy and Bess. And she was a Juilliard teacher as well, and she moved to Norway and married a Norwegian ski jumper and became a teacher there after her career as an opera singer, and she was amazing. She's probably my foremost mentor, and she remained a friend until she passed away last year at 96 years old. So she taught me classical voice training, and then I also studied with Seth Riggs in Los Angeles and Ian Adams in London, and Sue Rainey taught me jazz, also in L.A. So those are my main mentors.
Your main mentor. Is there one particular style you prefer to sing over another?
Well, you know, I grew up singing musical theater and jazz, so I think people will recognize those in almost everything that I do. But I do enjoy all kinds of rhythmic and melodic influences, and I enjoy combining like classical and jazz and funk, and you know, so I have some trip hop sometimes mixed in, and so I really, really enjoy combining elements.
Yeah, that's great, because you want to try to reach as wide an audience as possible, and you definitely do that. And I found out something very interesting about reading about you, that you know, as we all go through our own individual paths and journeys to achieve our goals, that we tend to stumble and fall and make mistakes, and that's part of expressing ourselves and moving forward. And how do you think you have benefited from the mistakes you've made?
Oh, that's where I learn. I mean,
that's a big
expand.
Question, because people, I think, tend to want to do things perfect, there's a belief system with some people that you have to do it this way or that way, that gray area, and then there's no room to err. And like you're saying, it's where you learn.
It's when I came to the Grove School of Music in L.A., I was so strictly trained by both classical music and by my father. He was an amazing entertainer, but he was a very strict mentor himself. And so I was very kind of constricted in my expression, because I felt like I had to do everything perfect. Every pitch and everything had to be just perfect. And so when I came to school and they heard me sing, they said, "Caroline, your job is to make mistakes. Your job is to let loose, and we don't give a shit if you sing out of key." I'm sorry, can I speak like this on the radio?
Yeah. You go, girl, let it flow.
I go, okay, let it flow, okay. Yeah. So they actually, all my teachers at Grove, they said, "You know, Caroline, you're like a machine, and we want to see your heart." And so they taught me, and Sue Rainey really taught me, the jazz singer. She really taught me to bring my heart out and forward and out. And when I perform now, sometimes I'm on the brink of tears, and still I'm able to have the song come forward and still be singing, but I am not concerned. I really don't care if I'm not going to be able to finish the sentence, because it is the heart coming forward that is the most powerful thing, and usually it's fine. I mean, most of it's very few times that I'm actually not able to finish, you know. But I like being on that brink, because it's where I connect, and it's where I see the people in the audience have, like, their hearts are opening, you know, because they're seeing. I think that's how it works, you know, like, if we want to change the world, you know, if we want to create harmony and heart opening, we have to open our hearts and dare to be vulnerable and dare to share that heart space.
I think you said a very powerful and important word, which is vulnerability. And
yeah,
I have had the pleasure of seeing you perform live, and it is true. When you open your heart and you are vulnerable, you can't help but feel that love come back to you from the audience. And and it's you know, it's a given, talking about wanting to be perfect, and as a performer, wanting to give a performance that is acceptable to the audience, so they enjoy it because they've paid money, and so there's an expectation of you have to be good, in quotes, right?
Right.
But when you sing with your heart, it's already a given, because people are going to love it. It's just a natural thing, and it's hard to let go, I think, for a lot of people, and be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's scary.
It's scary.
it's scary, man. It is. I mean, I've had my own experience with it, but I always, any time I've ever done anything, that I think vulnerability is one of the top three things that I try to focus on, because through that, all this wonderful, magical, stuff comes out, and that's where we want to be.
Yeah. And I think I've always done this, or as far as I don't remember much from before my accident, but I do remember that in performance, I almost always had some kind of a prayer where I asked just to be, I wanted to benefit, you know, I wanted to bring, you know, love, just to allow, like my prayer would be to just allow love to come through me and to be of benefit, you know, in whatever situation I was, and have my song be about that.
What is it like, you know, when sometimes people say, Caroline, just be? How would you describe that to our listeners? What is that for you?
Wait, say that again?
If somebody says to you, Caroline, you know, your songs, when you sing You Just Are, you just be, like be yourself. How would you describe what that is to you for our listeners?
To be myself?
Yeah, to just, when someone says, you know, your essence, just be. Just be that loving, that open, have an open heart. But I guess it's not a tangible concept for a lot of people to grasp. So a lot of people need more of a picture. How would you describe
that? Well, for me, it's about surrendering, because I've been a major doer for big chunks of my life. I'm thinking that I have to make things happen. I have to create it. I have to do everything about it in order to make it happen. And I know that that's not true. And that when I surrender and allow myself to just be and receive whatever it is, and then move from that state of reception, and that's just being for me. It's being in a state of being able to receive whatever it is, the energy and be an open channel. Like that's being. It's just being an open channel. Does that make sense?
It does. I completely understand it. I think we're, maybe as Americans, we're all defined about the end result. That's why we tend to work very hard and enjoy our life later instead of...
Well, I had the privilege of, in my accident was a near-death accident, and I went into the light, and I had the privilege of experiencing being in the light. Feeling, having the feeling of being one with all that is, and being, feeling the love and the connection. I felt connected to everything on the planet. And in that knowing that, like for me, I know that that's where we return. We turn to reconnection, complete reconnection with all that is. And for me, to have that, you know, experience, it makes me able to really enjoy this journey and not have any kind of agenda, because it is all good. Like it's all, to me, it's all, like if I just allow myself to move with my heart and with my inspiration, whatever inspires me, where I'm called, then that's what it's about. It's not what I create in my head. You know, what I create in my head may be inspired, you know, but I try to be careful not to make it the agenda or goal.
Right.
Does that make sense? Am I making
it,
sense?
It does.
At all?
I mean, it does. These are
okay,
all.
Good.
We're all get uptight about these things, but you are so absolutely. It's so much about trust, listening to that inner voice, or even hearing that inner voice, which sometimes a lot of people find hard to do, and trusting that. Because you often hear people say, well, I was going to do, you know, I wanted to be a ballerina. That was my passion, my little voice, however. And I think we're just afraid to take that step and know, that knowing that it'll be what it'll be.
Well, you know, the blessing of having a head injury and having kind of your brain not function for a while is that I got to learn that there is a power greater than that of my logical brain. That there is this sense of being that's beyond my thinking. And I really got to feel that. And so in that sense, I am able to trust that feeling even more, I think.
Very, very true. You know, it's unfortunate, your experience, but you often hear people who have these near-death experiences similar to yours, a positive side to it, what they got from it. And it's miraculous. It's beautiful that you do follow that path because you had an experience and you're going with what you experienced and moving forward and are able to follow your passion and sing and shed so much love and joy through your music to everyone around you. And that's just beautiful. And I want to find out more about your exposed CD. This tour you mentioned that you're on is you're singing from songs from the exposed CD, and you pay tribute to some of your great heroes like Janis Joplin. Who else do you pay tribute to on this new CD?
Well, my main songwriter heroes, and it's Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, Susanna Vega, Jennifer Warnes, and George Gershwin.
Nice little eclectic group. I like that.
Well, they really, you know, I like to tell people that Joni Mitchell taught me how to play the guitar, you know, just from, you know, getting her books and learning the songs. And some of these people are just truly amazing and have helped me through hard times. And that's what I want to do. You know, that's all I want to do with my music. I want to be inspiring and hopefully helping other people through.
You are indeed. I'm sure we might have some people who are interested in pursuing a singing career. What kind of advice can you give to someone?
I would just say, if it's joyous, you know, if it's from a place of just wanting to share, and to, if singing is joyous, then go ahead and do it. If, you know, I always hesitate when I hear about career, because it, for me, can have a little bit of a negative connotation because it's connected to money. Something like singing is so pure.
What do you call what you do? If the word career is not.
Well, it is a career. In one way, it's a career, but it's also, to me, it's a lifestyle.
It's my life.
It's my way of being.
I'm going to steal that from you.
Yeah.
If I may, that's very open. It's a very open-ended word, and it can mean whatever it means to you. Career always comes with a definition, a standard definition.
Right.
That there's a beginning, middle, and an end.
Right.
And, you know, a lifestyle sounds like it go on for eternity.
Yeah, it's a way of being.
I'm learning a whole bunch of new words from you today. This is wonderful. I like that. So I'm very excited that you're working on a new musical called Come Hell or High Waters. How are you doing on that?
Pretty good. I have pretty much all the songs done. I got some funding from organizations in Norway to compose the music, and so that's almost all there. And what I'm working on right now is writing the book, you know, the dialogue or monologue that goes, you know, the story.
So
telling
the story. It's your story. Can you give us a little synopsis of just a hint of what the story will be?
Oh, it's so hard. Synopsis is like the hardest thing. I can write a novel, you know, but tell me to write a synopsis and I'm like, ah. But I just finished writing a novel based on, it's called Finding Venus, and it's self-biographical, and it starts with the accident, and it's about the journey of finding my identity, and it's about how music brought me to the other side. And I've had a very dramatic life, and a part of the story is that I had a best friend that I met on tour. Her name was Stephanie Stroh. I met her when I was 16 years old in San Francisco touring, and she was my soul sister completely. We could speak to each other without speaking. And we would share dreams. When I was in Oslo, she was in San Francisco. And she went missing when we were both 22 years old. And this was in the middle of my recovery. This was at the time when I didn't yet remember who I was, but I remembered her. And she was kind of my connection to the world. And the fact that she went missing was a huge, huge, I mean, I thought I would die, you know. And I went to look for her for about a year, following dreams, and she was calling me in my dreams and my intuition, which was highly, highly sensitive, and I was highly aware on that level because of the head injury. And long story short, my journey of looking for her, even though I didn't find her and she was never found, that journey helped me remember who I was. And it didn't just help me remember who I was, it helped me find my purpose. And so that's what my story, that's what my book is about, and that will also be what the musical is about, except the musical will be a lighter, there will be more humor in it.
more playful. And it's a solo show.
More playful, yes.
You will be playing you?
I will be playing me. And I haven't yet decided who else to bring on board, but I'll probably have a couple of musicians with me, and we'll see. We'll see what it's going to be in the end.
That sounds very excited. It sounds as if you're going to have your debut in Norway, but I sure do hope that it comes to the States. That sounds like a wonderful story through music that I think all of us can relate
to. Yeah, I think, I'm already performing some of the songs on this tour. I'm touring right now. I'm doing 14 concerts in 10 cities across the United States.
So where do you go from Little Rock?
I'm just passing through. I had my concert in Nashville last night, and I'll be in Phoenix on Saturday, and I'll be in LA on Monday, and San Pedro on following Wednesday, and you can see I have a tour schedule on my homepage, which is carolinewaters.com, and if you go to the shows page, you'll see the whole tour schedule. I'll be going all the way up to I'll be going to Santa Cruz and San Francisco, and all the way up to right outside Santa Rosa, which is about 3 hours north of San Francisco.
Great. So this big coast of California gets a lot of you, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love California.
hey, you know, it's a great place. It's a great place. You mentioned your friend who was missing. Was that part of what stirred your passion for women's rights, for fighting for women's rights, that experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was already into women's rights. I was, since I was little, this I do remember from I was little, I was very, people being treated right, you know, whether it was kids or animals or anyone. And then when I this happened, I learned a lot about what happens to women around the world, and I became an advocate of sorts for women's rights, and I met some amazing women who have done incredible work. You know, like I got to meet Catherine McKinnon, who is still doing extraordinary work around the world, fighting for women's rights all over. I got to meet Andrea Dworkin, you know. I got to, I had some powerful mentors in that department as well, and it's still a big deal for me to, and that's part of vocal expression as well, is I believe that, if people can have a voice, if we can help people find their voice and express their voice, whatever it is, we can create a lot of good around the world for women.
Absolutely. You know, it's the 21st century, and one would think that we have come a long way in regards to women's rights or any kind of rights, and sometimes we haven't. And that's why people like yourself are given this platform and a gift to be able to set the stage for women and for those people that have a tendency to not want or are afraid to vocalize. They can follow someone like yourself and tag
yeah.
on and feel empowered to someday have their own voice. And because
yeah.
you know, we all do affect each other, and sometimes we just don't know the people that we affect. But I think when we have such a wonderful message, it's impossible not to.
Right.
Woohoo! Woohoo! It's beautiful. I want to give out some contact information to our listeners, because you just have so much to say and such an interesting life, and through your experiences where you have been and where you are going, it's truly inspirational. People can email you at redhead@carolinewaters.com, or they can call you at 310-650-7649, and also check your website at carolinewaters.com. And you will be close to Los Angeles very soon. And I just want to thank you. It's been we did work together, I think, a few years ago, and I just want to say I'm so grateful for having you on the show today. It's just been so delightful to hear your story and to speak mano y mano, as we say.
Well, likewise. I'm very grateful.
It's just been great. Thank you so much, Caroline. And Caroline is on tour singing songs from her Exposed CD, and we're going to leave you with another one of Caroline's. Oh, is Little Angel on your Exposed CD?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to leave our listeners with Little Angel by Caroline Waters. And again, thank you so much, Caroline. Let me again tell people where they can contact you, redhead@carolinewaters.com, for email 310-650-7649 as a contact number. And again, the website is carolinewaters.com. Thank you so much. A big hug out to you, and I wish you much success on the rest of your Exposed tour. Get exposed. That's all I could say.
Thank you so much.
And I want to dedicate this segment of How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes to a very special woman, another spirited soul, Joyce Wilcoff. She was a vivacious and loving person who recently passed away from stage 4 lymphoma. And Joyce was an integral part of a family at Emerald Forest, which is a gift boutique in Studio City. Owner Michelle and her co-workers Janet and Hope and all of us here at How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes will miss her. So, Joyce, I know you're listening, so this show is for you. So please join me next time on a wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes when my guest will be career counselor Susan Miller. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you again so much for joining me and the lovely Caroline Waters and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. See you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. We now leave you with Little Angel by Caroline Waters. Enjoy.
See?